So I'm a fan of dictionaries, a little bit of a geek that way, encyclopedias, surfing the web, just finding information. And so the Urban Dictionary defines this term, changing your channel, as shifting your posture or your perspective or your attitude. And that's what I want to challenge us to today, is to change your channel. We're going to sit here for a few weeks on this topic, and this ties into this season of being battle ready. Because so often, the problem is that we get stuck in a mindset. We're going to see if I turn this on. It makes it work. Wait for it. All right, Jonathan, over to you, my friend. So often we get stuck in a mindset and we find ourselves being continuously defeated in an area. And that's where we need this concept of changing our channel, of adjusting our perspective, adjusting our posture into something different so that we can understand where the Lord wants to bring us. So you might have to shut it down there, Jonathan, and reload. Sometimes it freezes. This, as you might know, in February, our battle strategy is to confess. We talked about not allowing sin to trip us up, not giving the devil a foothold, and we need to deal with our sin quickly and ruthlessly. And we pray that we would be set free from our sin, walking in holiness. So the truth is this, is that sometimes we need to change our channel because we get stuck somewhere. And Hebrews 12:2 talks of, or 12 verse 1 talks about getting rid of the things that so easily ensnare us, the weights that trip us up, the sin that ensnares us. And that's what I want to challenge us towards this morning, is beginning to strip away those things that have us ensnared, to begin coming before the Lord and saying, God, where am I stuck? What is stopping me from moving forward in that next step on my faith journey? But I want to chat with you a little bit about an experience I just had, the reason I was in Phoenix. And it was a part of a cohort that I was able to participate in called Women in Ministry Leadership. And it started back in August, and it was just a God thing how I even found out about it. So we had gone, as many of you know, on a missions trip to Germany and the Ukraine. And we had taken our time to be with the kids. We didn't really mix with the missionaries there because we knew our mandate was to be with the kids to serve them and for them to be able to have their convention experience, the mission. And so we didn't spend a lot of time interacting with some of the adults and the parents there. And we were going home, and in the airport in Ukraine, we happened to run into the missionaries from the United States who were serving in Romania. And we began chatting about a book they had written. I'd shared back in the summer a little bit of the details about that book. And they said, get this book, read it, let us know what you think. So I did that. I am a compulsive reader. I will read anything within eyes distance of me, including cereal boxes, shampoo bottles, whatever. So I got the book, I read it, sent them some feedback, and just kind of related some things like, hey, I really appreciated what you said about this in your story. I can relate to that in my own story. And she said, you know, have you ever heard of the Women in Ministry Leadership Cohort? I really recommend that you get involved in that. So I did, and what it was is, it began in August, and we met once a month for a teaching time. So there were 46 of us involved from all over the United States, one from South Africa, one from Canada, one from Brazil, and the rest from the United States, a lot of them for ministry leadership, some elsewhere, some in business leadership, but volunteering in places of ministry in their church. And so once a month, we would get together for a three-hour teaching time, and we covered topics like emotional health, transformational conversations, leadership effectiveness and skill development, spirit-led leadership, maximizers. We had a chance on one of those phone calls to be with Daniel Brown and Glenn Burris. What an honor and a privilege to have them teach us. And then it culminated in this summit in Phoenix, Arizona, that I was just at. And so that took place Monday evening and then 12-hour days on Tuesday and Wednesday. They were just packed full. And then in March, we go into some implementation and follow-up. Some of the things that were a part of that, I'm just going to give it another shot. Nope, it's over to you, Jonathan. Required attendance. So you weren't allowed to skip, take it not seriously. In fact, there were finances involved you needed to invest in. There was monthly coaching appointments, so you were put into a coaching group with one other person and your coach. There was gift coaching for the participant and their spouse, so we walked through the Romans 12 gifts assessment, and Ed did as well. And we each had our own separate time with that coach. We had access to ministry resources and people, connections through relationships with like-minded leaders, reading, study, assignments. We worked on the formation of our core values, our rule of life, our mission, vision, calling statement. And at the conference, we received prophetic input. So each of us, one at a time, were placed in the hot seat, whatever you want to call it, a chair, and six pastors gathered around you and gave you prophetic words to catapult you into that next area of ministry. So you can imagine what a powerful time, not just receiving for yourself, but watching the other people in your coaching group receive that. It was just, and all of us discussed after, like, it was like they read our journals. It was so accurate. And they didn't know us apart from a name on a piece of paper and that we had participated in this. So just a really powerful time. And there's a picture of our coaching group next. So all of us met with a coach and another individual, but that coach had multiple groups, and so that was the group you moved with during the summit. Hey, look at that. Only I'm going backwards. We're in. All right. So this was our group. So we were at the Grace North Foursquare Church for those times last week. And what became evident through the process is the intentionality that's required to shift your mindset. So often we come to God, God, change me. God, would you do something? God, I'm stuck in this area. And we wait. And it's important for us to wait to hear the answer from the Lord. But it's also important for us to take some action, amen? That there are things we need to do. And so that was the message communicated throughout this cohort. You can't stay here. You can't stay here and be fruitful and effective in what God's asking you to do. You need to move towards emotional health. You need to move towards leadership health. You have to put things into place. You have to make choices. You have to decide on some things if you're going to move forward successfully in your faith journey. And this next one is just a picture of one of our gatherings in worship together in the evening. So we had six sessions with teaching from all kinds of people over those 2 days. One of them, Angie Ritchie, the president of Life Pacific College in the States, and she brought valuable stuff on emotional health and how as a pastor to help people through emotional health type situations. But the thing is this is about overcoming areas where the enemy has gained ground in our life. And that doesn't just happen by accident. We have to make some choices. We have to make some determinations. 99% of the battle is getting yourself, I'm really on a roll this morning. 99% of the battle is getting yourself into the right state of mind. And this is so very important in this season of being battle ready. Because it's the state of our mind that fuels our identity and our ability to fight the enemy. If you believe you're worthless, if you believe that God can't possibly forgive you, how in the world are you going to be an overcomer when the enemy comes at you with those attacks, right? We need to understand our identity in Christ. We need to understand the power and the authority we have in Him. I love this scripture in Judges chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing the wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain in the midst. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.'" God came at that point because Gideon needed to change his channel. He was cowering in fear. He was hiding grain from the Midianites. He did not see a way out of this. There was nothing that could be done in his eyes. God, in this situation, brings possibility into the equation, reminding him who the champion and protector was. The scripture goes on to say, "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where's the miracles our ancestors have told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites? Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. And the dialogue goes on. You can see this interplay between the two of them. God saying, I'm with you, mighty warrior. I will give you the strength. And Gideon saying, no, that's I'm too weak. I'm just this little lowly old guy from this clan. But Gideon had to stop making excuses. He had to stop agreeing with the enemy's perspective on him. He had to stop with a defeatist attitude. And he had to choose life over death. And that's what we're going to talk about here. See, so often we see a sign like this. Not that one. This one. We see a sign like this, and I don't know. I think we're in this culture, this society right now, where everything takes a negative spin. If we hear the word no, that's negative. If we hear the word stop, that's negative. But when I look at this sign, I think it's a pretty positive thing. When I stop at a four-way stop, I want to know the other people have stopped too. It's a positive thing when people obey the stop sign. I used to, when I was doing preteen ministry, work with children that had autism, and we would put stop signs around the room to keep them from reaching out and touching something that would endanger them. Stop said, hey, this is to protect you, this is to keep you safe. The rolling stop. Why do you think those driver instructors and police get so upset with the rolling stop? It's not safe. Stop can be a very positive thing. And I believe this morning that God wants to put some stop signs before us in our own life that we can pay attention to that will enable us to be the victors and not the victims. And that's something we're going to talk about more in this series. Some of us know a whole lot about the enemy. We know how to spot him. We know his tactics. And we see the impact in our culture. We'll point out and go, oh, Satan's got a grip there. And yet we allow him to run rampant in our own life. We let him do just whatever he wants, and he has a heyday with us. And we fail to recognize what's going on in our own lives. And fear, disillusionment, lies, the list goes on. All of those things come into play, and we miss it. And I believe it's time for us to stop some behaviors and to change our channels this morning. So the first one I believe God wants us to pay attention to is that we need to stop making excuses. I'll give you a moment just to take that one in. I had a boss in Delta who used to say, excuses are for losers. And oh, we hated it when he would say that because it was always when we were bringing forward our, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get that done, but you know, this happened and that, and it, like, excuses are for losers. And we learned very quickly not to come with our excuses because they weren't going to be heard. It didn't matter why we didn't get it done. You missed the deadline. Excuses are for losers. The following quote from Jim Rohn says, if you really want to do something, you will find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse. And perhaps you can reflect in your own life on a time where there was something you really wanted to do, but you found out you really didn't want to do it after all, because you found out all kinds of reasons why it couldn't be done. The problem with excuses is they make an easy way out for us. They're a barrier to our success. They put the blame on other people for our actions. Well, I couldn't do it because that person didn't pray with me. I couldn't do it because that person didn't invite me to their life group. I couldn't do it because that happened or this happened. And they often cover up a fear of failure, right? Really, that's at the bottom of it. We're afraid we're not going to get it right. And so we look for a way out. But we need to stop making excuses for embracing the lies of the enemy, for allowing ourselves to stay stuck in certain areas. The second part of this is that we need to stop agreeing with the enemy. There's a quote that says, every time we speak defeat, it's like shaking hands with the devil and saying agreed. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that same book, James, talks about the power of the tongue, curses and blessings. And did you know we can speak curses over our own life? That we can agree with the enemy? I'm so worthless. I can't possibly do that. I don't have what it takes. That is a lie of the enemy. And when we speak that out, we are agreeing with the enemy's opinion. And so, church, we need to stop agreeing with the enemy on those things. That is not what God says about us, not at all. We need to stop the defeatist attitude. This is just the way it is. Isn't this a heartbreaking tattoo? It says up on there, I can't change. I can't change. And yet, I don't know how it is for you, but I know I've said that. I can't change. It's just the way I am. It's just the way my family was. There's nothing I can do. Really? I want to challenge that. Did God say, forever stuck in sin? Did he create you to be hot-tempered? Did he create you to be worthless? I don't think so. It says we're a new creation. How about owning that? It says that we're filled with the fruit of the Spirit, including self-control. How about owning that? It says that we're beautifully and wonderfully made. How about grasping onto that? And it goes back to the one before, the power of the tongue. Oh, how terrible we are to ourselves with our own tongue. And we speak curse and not blessing over ourselves and sometimes even over our family. Ed and I were convicted of that recently. You know, with one of our sons, we said, you know, we probably said this way too much to that son. And that's probably some of what we're seeing now as a result of that. And what do we do with that? Well, we can't go back and change the past, but we can come to the Lord in repentance and say, God, would you lift that off of his life? Because God is powerful enough to do that. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And the last one this morning is we need to stop choosing death over life. Where the prison doors open and we know the way to freedom, but we're like, you know what? I'm pretty comfortable here. If I go to pursue that next step in my journey, that's going to be work. I'm going to have to take a risk. I'm going to have to step out of my comfort zone. But the door is open. Psalm 118:17, David says this, I will not die. Instead, I will live and tell what the Lord has done. It's intentionality. And there's a new thing that's in the mix right now in the area of emotionally healthy spirituality. And it's called working on your genogram. And it's where, that might be a little hard to read, I can see, so I'll unpack it a bit. It's where you look back at your family history and you write a family tree of all the people in your family, and then you write underneath behavior patterns from that person. So this one has uncle, angry, abusive, father, hardworking, jealous, mother, avoider, caring, brother, controlling but likable, sister-in-law, social, laid back. And so you unpack and you begin to go, are there patterns in my family's history that are affecting me today that need to be broken, that need to be overcome? And what I see when I look at that is actually a choice to break down areas where the enemy has had a hold and to move forward as we change history. A song that's very close to my heart is an old one by Delirious where it talked about History Maker. I want to be a history maker in this land. I want to be a speaker of truth to all mankind. And I just don't want that to be to all mankind. I want to be a history maker in my own life, a speaker of truth to my own spirit and heart, and to not buy into the lies of the enemy anymore. And I want 10 years from now, if my kids sit down and do this little chart thing, that they'll be able to say, you know, at one point in time, my mom, she was a bit of a spaz, but God healed her of that, and now she walks in grace. Or, you know, my mom, she dealt with brokenness and depression at one time, but you know what? Then I saw God restore her, and the remainder of her seasons were filled with joy. That is a promise I believe that the Lord spoke to me, that I am clinging to, that all of my years will be seasons of joy. And so I want to challenge you this morning, what do you want? This little circle, this little genogram, to say of you, because it's your choice. You can choose to stay where you are. You can choose to stay in places where the enemy has you bound. Can be a little thing, can be a big thing. Or you can say, no, I'm moving forward to claim the inheritance God has for me. We've talked about our theme verse for this year being John 10:10. The enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. It doesn't say life in heaven more abundantly. It just says life more abundantly. I don't want to stay here. Man, there's still stuff I got to fix. There's still areas I need to grow in. And I know I haven't gotten there, and I know this side of heaven, we're not going to figure all the pieces out entirely. But boy, do I want to embrace everything that the Lord has for me now. So what will your legacy be? We're not powerless. And so often, we behave as if we are. And I think of this story. Kanye West, many of you know, back in October, around then, he made a claim to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so we look, and it breaks my heart, because I think sometimes we think change is impossible. Because we look at him, and it says in all the articles as I was looking up last night, the church community is divided. Did he really make a change, or didn't he? And to me, that speaks of what we believe is possible or not possible. Because we look at somebody like him and the lifestyle he's come out of and go, oh no, he couldn't have possibly have changed. And it's a familiar story because the same thing happened to Paul in the New Testament. Road to Damascus experience, and the early believers said, did he really change? Did that really happen? God's power at work in us does awesome things. It is capable of doing amazing things. But if we can't believe that for somebody like him, and we only know bits and pieces of his full story, how are we going to believe that for ourselves? We need to believe, church, that God has the ability to change us from the inside out, to give us victory over habits, over thoughts, over attitudes, over sin, over lies of the enemy. But we also have to be intentional in that. We have to stop making excuses. We have to stop agreeing with the enemy, what he says about us. When he says you can never be healed, lie. Angie Ritchie, she spoke to us this weekend. We got a kick out of it, and then we had some fun with it. She would say, cancel, cancel. Cancel that lie of the enemy. Cancel, cancel. You know, I'm never going to be able to do that. I'm never going to be successful. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. Lie. Cancel. Erase it. Stop agreeing with the enemy. Stop the defeatist attitude. You have the power through the authority of Jesus to overcome areas in your life where you were stuck. And stop choosing death over life. It's time to change our channel. And so today, if there was one thing, maybe it's already popped into your mind. If there was one thing that you could stop doing, stop thinking, stop falling for, how would that fuel your success on your journey with God? How would that fuel your success in the battle? What is one channel that you can change today? And you might say, well, how is that possible? And we have a little tag we're using. It's from a well-known song that's out there now. Prayer is how we fight our battles. And this one is fought in prayer. I can't come out there and fix it for you. I can't make it better. Nobody can make my stuff better. It's about coming to the Lord in prayer. And we're going to have an opportunity today just to pray with you if there's something you'd like us to agree with you in prayer for. But I'm also going to send you home with an exercise today. I have some handouts we'll get distributed in just a moment. And it's an exercise called listening prayer. And it's something that Ed and I have been actively doing. And it's not a formula. So don't take this home and go, no prayer will get answered unless I do it this way. Or nothing will change unless I do it this way. This is not that. What it is an exercise that just brings incredible focus and clarity. So I was doing this on the airplane last week and just having this dialogue with God for as long as the dialogue went on and just writing it out. And what was funny is as I was doing that, he was talking to me faster than I could write, so then everything was like a jumbled up mess. So this is a really nice, tidy outline. So what it is you're starting a conversation with the Lord. And I'm going to challenge you this week to sit down before God, piece of paper, a pen, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever your schedule allows, and answer one of the following questions on paper. Ask God one of the following questions on paper. God, what lie have I been believing? Or God, where have I been playing the victim? Or God, where am I choosing to stay that isn't in alignment with God's ways? So one of those three questions, if you're a super keener like me and love writing and studying and stuff, you might do all three in the week, and that's okay. But what you do is you write that down and say, God, and you can even write it just like this, God, dot, dot, and we'll give you a little example in the handout. What lie have I been believing? And then wait for a moment. Let him answer. It's often one of those, you know, God's Holy Spirit is within you. We believe that, that at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and he guides us in all truth. So it's not like you're finding the answer out there from somewhere. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and highlight, you know what? It's this. But I don't want you to stop there. Okay, that's what it is. I thought that's what it was. Continue the dialogue. So God, what do you mean by that? What do I need to know about this? Wait for a response. God, what's my next step? What could I do next to overcome this area? And it's inviting a conversation. Sometimes we are so rushed when we speak to the Lord and we listen. And Ed and I talked about this as we've been walking through this sort of exercise. How, you know, he gets home from work. He's there. I come home from work. I don't go in the room and say, Ed, speak to me. Right? What does he even know where to start? He doesn't know what I'm wanting, expecting. Instead, I'll say, Ed, what's for dinner? Ed, is it date night? Ed, what do we have on the calendar tonight? Right? We're very specific, and yet sometimes with God, we don't get specific. And so I'm challenging you this week to get specific in your conversation with the Lord, because I believe he wants to highlight for you an area in your walk with Jesus that you can move forward. And we talked about this a number of weeks ago. God is for you. It's just about taking that next step. He's not going to come down and go, is that all you did? Is that all you can do? He's proud of you. He's for you. He will cheer you on in that next step. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. And this morning, I'm going to encourage you to take a moment, even now, to say to the Lord, God, is there a channel I need to change? Is there a shift that needs to be made in my walk with you? And as we move forward in this series, we're going to talk a little more about things like establishing our identity in Christ, understanding the whole God's ways versus our ways, kingdom culture, some things like that. But in this moment, let's just begin to pray about what that first step is. I'm just going to have somebody from each section. We store a lot up here. Just come and hand some of these out and make sure everybody gets one. Thank you, Rose. There we go. I've got some more here, too. So this morning as we close with a song, I'm going to have Pastor Ed lead us in this song and invite you to the altar. But if you know it, God's already highlighted for you a next step and you just want somebody to agree with you in prayer, if you want that level of accountability this morning, we're going to invite you to come as we close the service. We'd love a chance to pray with you. There's time. We have to flip the room around and do some things like that before our AGM. So don't think, oh, I can't do that today. But there's time, and we just want to invite you to come before the Lord. And you know what? God can do business with you right where you are, too. So maybe you're like, no, I don't need someone to agree with me, but allow God to speak to your heart even now. And I'd encourage you to do this exercise. I want to hear about it. So if you do this tomorrow and God just reveals something amazing, shoot us an email, shoot me a text, Facebook message, conversation, whatever. I'd love to know what God is highlighting for you and what he's saying, just so we can celebrate with you.